My name's Dave Dinkle. I'm here today interviewing Jim Sullivan with NationwideShortSalesService.com. We're going to talk about the nitty-gritty, the inside information on short sales. First, we're going to talk about, simply, let's get to the bottom line here. What is a short sale?
Well, obviously, a short sale is when the homeowner owes more than the property is worth and is unable to sell it and satisfy the mortgage in full.
So what you're saying is the lender will agree to take a discount off the mortgage just to get it off their books?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there another benefit to the lender to get rid of that property, like they don't have to go through foreclosure?
Yeah, that's a huge benefit. There's been studies, and you know, it ranges that the lender will come out to 15 to 20% ahead doing a short sale versus having to actually go through the legal process, foreclose, hold the property, you know, rehab the property, maintain it, and turn around and sell it and pay a realtor again. So they come out considerably ahead. They get rid of inventory that they really don't want to take on.
Jim, I write a number of articles, and one of the articles that has been most read by people who are in foreclosure or going into foreclosure is, how does the foreclosure affect my credit score? Let's talk about how a short sale affects the credit score of the homeowner.
Great question. And that brings me to a little disclaimer here. All of my opinions today, Dave, are based on my 35 years experience in the business. I'm not a mortgage broker. I actually do have a mortgage broker's license, but I don't use it. I'm not an attorney and I'm not a CPA. So what I'm saying doesn't replace their advice. Now, having said that, it is going to negatively affect your credit score. There's no doubt. A foreclosure will stay on your credit from 7 to 10 years. Make it virtually impossible to get another mortgage. According to FHA, you can actually get another loan 2 years after the short sale is discharged. So it's significantly less damaging than a foreclosure.
Okay, so if you do a short sale, if I'm the homeowner and the short sale works out for me, I know that I can probably finance another home in half the time it would take, or even a third of the time that I would look at a foreclosure.
Probably a fifth of the time, 2 years versus 10.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the next most asked question is, if I originally have a $250,000 loan and you do a short sale for $150,000, what happens to that $100,000 difference that the bank has to take? Is that going to be a deficiency judgment against me, or what happens to it?
You have to be real careful talking to the homeowner. You can't promise that it's not going to be a deficiency judgment. That is a possibility. The lender has that right to pursue a deficiency judgment. Having said that, we've done several hundred of these. We've seen two cases so far where the homeowner is actually, I mean, where the lender has actually pursued a deficiency judgment, and both of them were small little independent banks. So far, our experience is the lenders are taking what they can get from the government. They're taking what they can get to sell the properties, and thus far, they are not pursuing homeowners. Now, we do attempt to negotiate in our company with the bank that they will not pursue a deficiency judgment. Sometimes they agree, often they won't agree. But even when they don't agree, thus far, we have seen very few cases of the lenders actually come back after the homeowner. If I could add to that, David, in most states, Florida is one, to get a deficiency judgment against the homeowner, it's a whole separate legal process that takes place after the property is sold. In most cases, it's just as time-consuming and expensive for the lender as a foreclosure. So they're making a business decision. Do I throw good money after bad to pursue a judgment against somebody that probably doesn't have anything to collect?
Okay, so if I don't have to worry, or it's a remote possibility that I would have a deficiency judgment, what would happen otherwise? What are the tax consequences to me of that difference?
That's a great question. I would recommend everybody Google Bush 1099. In, you can tell me, was it 07 or 08? I believe it was December of 07. President Bush signed a law into effect that if it's your primary residence, you will not get a 1099. So there should not be any tax consequences.
But normally, if you were an investor, for example, and you got a 1099-C, the worst case would be, it'd be like phantom income, in effect. It'd
Correct.
Be added on to your income tax. But with Bush signing that regulation, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen if it's your primary residence.
And that happens to go through 2012, does it not?
Correct.
Okay. If I'm a homeowner and I've been stressed because I've been in the foreclosure, I may have saved a little money, I may have been unemployed and I don't have any money. If I come to the closing, how much money can I expect to get on this short sale?
You will not net any money at the closing. 99% of the time, I mean, how illogical it is. We recently had one where the lender insisted that the homeowner net $2,500 if they closed it within 30 days, but that is the rare exception. 99% of the time, the lender is not going to allow the homeowner to net anything.
I understand I can't get any money at closing, but do I have to bring any money to closing?
No, you should not have to bring any money to the closing. Now, the only reason I say should not, David, sometimes in rare cases, especially if the homeowner is asking to be forgiven from the debt, the lender will ask them for either a promissory note or a small cash contribution. I think the most that we have had anybody in exchange for forgiving over $100,000 of potential deficiency judgment, the homeowner brought $2,500 to the closing. But majority, that's very unusual. Majority of the time, the lender will pay all of the seller's closing costs. They'll pay their taxes. They'll pay their delinquent maintenance. They'll pay whatever liens against the property. Whatever's required to give the new buyer clear title, 99% of the time, the lender will pay.
All right, so let's assume as a homeowner I'm behind 4 or 6 months or longer on my mortgage payment, and now I agree to do the short sale. How much longer can I stay? I understand these short sales could take 6 months. Can I still stay in my home that whole time, not make a payment?
Absolutely. Actually, we've found that the lenders prefer the property to be occupied. If you leave and they send someone out there to check it and it's vacant, they're going to change the locks on it. They'll basically lock you out, or, you know, you got to get a locksmith to get back in. So, yeah. Absolutely. You can stay until the day of closing, until the short sale is completely negotiated, there's a new buyer moving in, and we have a closing. And generally, you're going to get a pretty good amount of notice, 30 to 60 days before the closing. You'll know. You'll have time to make arrangements to move.
Okay. One of the questions I get from homeowners myself quite often is they try to do their own loan modification, and it seems to be getting absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know that you can do this short sale? How do I know it's going to go through?
Based on our experience, David, we've had very, very few. This may be an oversimplification, but the problem with loan modifications, in my opinion, the lender is going to be married to the homeowner for an extended period of time, and they're already not making their payments. With loan modifications, they pretty much require the homeowner to re-qualify for the loan. And how many people are behind on the payments can re-qualify for the loan. In our experience with a short sale, if you're behind on the payments, if you have no equity and you're breathing, the lender is going to pretty much agree to a short sale.
Okay, what's the shortest and the longest amount of time that you've seen a short sale take?
Our record is 6 weeks, which is extraordinary. We have two with Countrywide, now Bank of America, that we've been working on since 2006. And the people are still living in the property for free 3 years later. So that's the long and the short of it. Typically, we're looking at least 4 months, 3 to 4 months, and sometimes it takes longer.
Okay, now, if I'm the homeowner again and I've received my foreclosure notice, which is the list penance, and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they woke me up and served it to me, or served it late at night, and it says I have 20 days to respond, and I don't know what to do. Am I too late already?
No, you're not too late. If you have some argument of fact, if you think there's some reason why you shouldn't be in foreclosure, that's the time to consult an attorney. You know, if you actually made your payments and they said you didn't. So that's your really only, your significant defense at that point. When that 20 days passes, that's really the very, very beginning of the process. In Florida, from the time you receive that notice, you're probably looking at 6 to 12 months before a sale would actually be scheduled. And if we're negotiating a short sale, they typically will not schedule a sale. If they do schedule a sale, we can get it postponed time and time and time again. These lenders will do almost anything not to take the property back.
Okay, well, now that you mentioned that, let's say the home is actually scheduled for sale. I have a sale date. Mm-hmm. Is it too late now to start the short sale?
No, it's not. As long as we used the shortest fuse we had a realtor bring us one on Monday that was scheduled for sale on Friday, and we were able to stop it on Wednesday. But we had a very cooperative homeowner that sat down, got all their paperwork filled out. We submitted the contract right away. We have found recently that more and more of the lenders are requiring that everything be in 15 days prior to sale. That, you know, we have taken a few and got them by in less time than that, but I would caution everybody, just don't wait till the last minute. You're going to know months ahead of time don't put the pressure on yourself of not knowing. If it's 30 days or more, we can almost always get the sale stopped.
Okay, are some lenders quicker than others or easier to work with than other lenders?
Well, other than one I previously mentioned, which is takes 2 to 3 times as long as anybody else. You know, it's interesting. In our experience, it seems to be the individual loss mitigation agent at the bank more so than the lender. It depends on how many files that agent has on their desk, how responsive they are, you know, how quickly they process them. So other than one or two that take an extraordinary amount of time, there isn't any rhyme or reason. You know, all the lenders are taking a long time right now. The typical loss mitigation agent is probably making, you know, $10 to $12 to $15 an hour with the bank, and they might have been on their job for a few months. We've had numerous cases where we start negotiating and the loss mitigation agent keeps getting fired and we got to start all over again every time. So yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it, Dave. It's absolutely impossible to predict based on the lender how long it's going to take, because every deal is different.
Well, does it matter how much the homeowner owes versus what the market value of the property is?
This always amazes the homeowners. Absolutely irrelevant. It really doesn't matter. We had one down in Miami, $680,000 mortgage. The lender accepted $120,000. I mean, it's just, it really, all that matters is the broker's price opinion. The lender is going to send a realtor out there, pay him $50 probably to drive by the house and give him an opinion of value. The banks accept that as gospel. When you get that BPO in, you cannot fight it. We rarely get low BPOs. We have a way of, high BPOs. We have a real good way of getting a very reasonable BPO. And once that comes in, the bank makes their decision based on a percentage of what the BPO agent says the house is worth. It really doesn't matter what's owed.
Okay, let's, as a homeowner, what am I going to have to do in terms of producing documentation for you? What's needed?
It's a good question. We have a comprehensive package that we've developed that is accepted by every lender. So instead of having to get a hold of Washington Mutual or Bank of America or, you know, Chase and ask for their documents, which can take 6 weeks to get, we have a comprehensive package which is all inclusive. The fundamentals of it, we ask every homeowner to fill out everything rather than sending it in dribs and drabs. And the loss mitigation agents of the bank really appreciate that. But the lender is asked to produce 2 months' bank statements, 2 recent bank statements, and 2 years' tax returns, and a one-page financial statement. And there are other various documents that we ask them to sign, you know, to represent them. Yeah, exactly. But that's pretty much it. They're in Florida. There's a foreclosure rescue agreement that needs to be signed. Every state has their own little forms and regulations. But typically, the way we work, if I just mention, our homeowner can go to our website and register. We will auto-fill in their property address and email them their documents. We have one full-time person in our office named Bill who will get on the phone with them, walk them through getting all their documents filled out. If we took one yesterday, it's 10 days till sale. So we said to the lady, you got to come in here. You're not leaving until you get everything filled out and turned into us, which she did. And it looks like we'll be able to stop the sale today.
Okay. There's a lot of companies out there that are doing short sales and individuals and realtors. And what's different about what you do that you can help me better than all these other people running around?
Well, I think we've been doing it for about 3.5 years now. We've successfully completed hundreds of them. We're successfully doing short sales in 38 states. We do have a comprehensive document package. We have a paperless system. Everything is scanned into a central database. We have 5 full-time negotiators, we call them facilitators. All of them have a laptop. They can, you know, nights, weekends, they get a call. Somebody is always going to pick it up. We get a call from California, comes in, you know, on a Friday night after hours. Somebody will be there to, when the loss mitigation agent finally does call back, to answer the call and to deal with it. We also work a little bit differently. We don't, on day one, when all the paperwork is sent in, through our realtor and investor network, we submit an offer right away. So that is one, that's a crucial part. If a homeowner calls the lender and says, I need to get started in a short sale, and they don't have a buyer, nothing happens until a contract is signed that from a buyer that can be sent into the lender. So through our realtor and investor network, when they hire us, we will submit an offer immediately as soon as their paperwork's filled out and effectively stop the sale and buy them the the homeowner a considerable amount of time, you know, remaining in the property.
That's a huge difference, because with most realtors doing it, for example, they have to run it on the MLS and they hope that somebody comes around.
And honestly, we've worked very well with realtors, because one of the biggest difficulties for a realtor, you list the property and you do find a buyer and you start negotiating, then 4 months later, 5 months later, by the time the lender says yes, the buyer's bought something else, went out to an open house or drive it around and found something else, and you got to start the whole process over again. So by us starting with our investor realtor network on day one, even if we lose the first buyer, the banks will tend to come back and give us a pretty good indication, if they don't accept our initial investor offer, of what they will accept. And usually by the time they do that, you know, we'll have three, four, or five buyers waiting. So it's, instead of counting on one buyer and hoping they wait, we negotiate from day one and accumulate buyers.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, much more efficient way to do it.
Jim, if one of the things I've heard homeowners say when the time comes to actually start working on the short sale is, I'm not sure I understand it, and if I don't do it, is there a benefit to doing it? I'm afraid. I just don't know what to expect. So if I don't do it, then what's going to happen?
Well, if you don't do it and you don't make your payments, you're going to get foreclosed. So if a short sale, as we said before, is a much better alternative, number one, you're going to buy yourself some time getting your financial house in order, living in the house for free. While we do the short sale, you're going to be in a better position to move months and months down the road. Secondly, the lender, in our experience, is much less likely to come back at you for a deficiency on a short sale versus a foreclosure. Thirdly, your credit is only going to be dinged significantly for a couple years versus 10 years.
You're on the front line of what's going on. Are there some questions that homeowners have had that I haven't covered today?
No, I think you did a pretty good job covering most of them, honestly. Some people, one you didn't ask me is, what if it's a rental property? If I don't live there, you know, what are the consequences? I told you the story before we started recording. We had an investor give us 18 properties. They're all rented. He's collecting about $23,000 a month income. Every time we're successful with the short sale, he gets a little aggravated with us because we're reducing his income. But you didn't ask me what the consequences were as far as a 1099 to an investor. And again, I have to stress, check with your CPA or your accountant. I have been told by three different CPAs that in most cases, if the investor or the homeowner has owned, it would be an investor, has owned the property for more than a year, it's long-term capital gain, and most people are going to have enough accumulated losses to pretty much wipe out the 1099, even if they get one. But again, double-check that with your CPA or your accountant. So it is possible, depending on your situation, that there could be some tax consequences if it's an investment property. I would say, again, though, they're going to be less than if it were foreclosed, in any case. So because the liability, the loss to the lender, is less.
All right, great, Jim. Let me sort of close with the homeowner side of this by saying, if I was a homeowner and I listened to this, but I had other questions, how could I get in touch with you?
You can call me anytime, at least 40 hours a week, at nationwideshortsaleservice.com on the web, or call me at the office, 954-971-6711. 954-971-6711.